please, to the book of Hosea. Hosea. We're going to look at chapter number 2. Hosea chapter number 2. Hosea chapter number 2. Stand, please, while we read. Start reading at verse number 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Of course, there now we're talking about Israel and talking about coming up out of the land of Egypt. And I know in the book of Hosea, we usually immediately think about Hosea and his wife Gomer, which we may refer to a little bit later, but that's not my thought today. I want to center in upon that thought in verse number 15. And the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. I'm glad it's a door of hope. I'm glad there is hope. We're not living in a hopeless situation. I thank God there's hope. And I praise God for that blessed truth. Let's bow our heads for just a word of prayer. After that, you may be seated. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you today, God, for the singing of the songs and the privilege to be in Sunday school. And Lord, just to be here in the house of God, enjoy the things of God. And what a joy to our hearts. Then, Lord, there's been those mentioned today that our family's in bereavement, and I pray for every family. I pray for those who are sick and unable to come. Then we ask you to watch over those who are away this weekend. I pray give traveling grace and mercies. Then, Father, we come now for preaching, and we realize the fact that you have a message for us today. And, Lord, there's those here today that need special help, then we all need to hear from heaven. And I pray in Jesus' name for that divine anointing touch of God be upon us. I pray for the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds, loose our tongues, help us to think, and be able to say what needs to be said. I pray you'd help us today, Father, in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus. Confess the devil defeated and Jesus Christ the victor. Thank you for he that causes us to triumph always in Christ. And I pray today, God, that victory in Jesus be real. Touch the hearts of those that are unsaved. I pray conviction be real. They realize the fact they're lost and without God. I pray for every person here that's been saved and their life is out there in the wilderness somewhere and they realize they need some help. I pray they'll let you help them. Then some today need encouragement and strength, and I pray you just have your way. Lord, help all of us realize the fact today that you're still God. You're still able to help us, and I pray for our country. I pray for churches across America. You'd help all of us in these days. Send us revival. Lord, touch our hearts. May we hunger and thirst after righteousness. We'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the Valley of Hope, but in doing that, we'll give you a couple of other things to go with that. But Hosea, that prophet Hosea, in a real special way, refers back to the past to tell about the future. He is saying what's happened in the past, same thing will happen in the future. And he's using Israel as an illustration of their past when they came up out of Egypt. But God did get them in the promised land. They did get blessed and they did get some help. And if you read the book of Judges, you'll find over and over again the past was a picture of the future because they would fail God. They'd follow the idols. Then God send judgment. Then God send a deliverer. Then they get back. They'd serve God for a while. They'd fall back into sin, go back into bondage of some kind. And then God send a deliverer. Then they get delivered. Let me say to you today, God's still the same God today as he was when Hosea wrote. He's still the same God that he was when the day of Judges. He's still the same God that he's always been. And he is concerned about the fact that where we are today, sin's still sinful in the sight of a holy God. He hadn't changed his mind about sin, and it's still the same. And so what has happened in the past, you can rest assured we'll see some in the future. And no nation has ever forgot God and got by with it. No nation has ever forgotten God and then went on their merry way and got by with it. There'll be a day of judgment as sure as I'm standing where I stand. America is headed down the wrong road. And America's headed in the way that God someday will. And I was thinking about the whole world today seem has gone crazy about this same-sex marriage and all that stuff. Do you think a holy God is just going to turn his head and say, well, that's okay. They believe everybody has their right to live their life like they want to. That sounds good, but it's just not true. You don't have a right to live your life like you want to. You have a right to live it like God wants you to live it. But outside that right, you don't have a right. Amen. That's good preaching anyhow. It'll work. Amen. And we today have seemingly accepted sin as just a norm. It's just one of those things that happened. Well, it didn't just happen. It has happened. It is happening. And we need to realize the fact that a holy God sits on the throne. And that holy God will deal with it. So Hosea, he looks backwards and then he's going to prophesy of the future and what he's saying. What God has done, he will do. And God is consistent in himself. He never changes in any way. And so we can rest assured of that. But coming back to my text now, I just ran that by you in an introduction, but I want to look at this verse and pull out of that a thought and let God help us as we do so and pray God will help us today. I'm glad there is hope. And this valley of Achor that he's talking about here, we know the root word of that means trouble. It means anxiety. It has that kind of connotation to it. But there's some special truths here we find. I want to talk about promise, first of all, the valley of promise. I'm going to give you three valleys. The valley of promise. In this, we see when Israel came in, they came into the Canaan when they crossed Jordan and came in. They came into this land we just read about. They came into the land of Achor because of the fact that Jericho, you remember, lay there in this land, this valley just north of Jericho. Beyond it, the highlands. Beyond it, and in that valley was a fertile valley. Vineyards grew. It was a place that they were looking for. It was something to look for. Jericho stood in the way. And we know what happened to Jericho. They didn't have any weapons. Israel didn't have any weapons. They just come out of bondage. And they came through the wilderness. They didn't have that, but there they are at Jericho. And God said, I'm going to give it to you. And you remember that night in Joshua chapter 5 when he went out there and angel of the Lord met him. And it was an appearance of the Lord Jesus. And he worshiped there. Joshua was all worried and concerned about Jericho. But when he met this one out there of God, he didn't ask him about how they're going to take Jericho. He didn't ask him what we're going to do now. He simply said, Lord, what do you have thy servant to do? He just simply made himself available unto God. Let God give him the order. It'd be a good day when we just make ourselves available to God. Quit making our plans and then asking God to bless him. But ask God what he wants us to do. And when we find out that, God will bless us if we endeavor to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And so there they were. And they came in this land. Jericho fell down flat, by the way. The Bible said Jericho fell flat. It wasn't a rubble. Wasn't a big pile of trash. It fell flat. I don't know whether God let her sink the walls or what he did to them, but it fell flat and they just walked in. And, of course, they got some weapons when they walked in and all that. But there they are. But when they crossed Jordan, they came into this land. We're talking about this valley lay there. They had to come through that valley to go on, get in all the promised land that was before them. They had to come through that. I'm saying today, praise God, I'm glad there's a promise to every child of God. You see, God said, I'm going to take you in the land that flows with milk and honey. And he certainly did that. Now, they failed to take it all. They failed to act like they should in some way. But they had the promise. It was there. And this valley was there. And they had to come through. Let me say to every child of God, and by the way, if you're not saved today, I want to report to you that you can be saved by the grace of God. You can come to know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. But I'm thankful God the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart, draw you by his power. And Jesus died for you, rose from the dead for you, sent it back to heaven for you. And he's calling for you. And today's the day of salvation. Everyone that will believe, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Now, having said that, let me say to us that are saved in this valley and going in this valley of promise, we have the promise of everything that God has promised to his children. Hey, we're in the kingdom of God. We are now a child of the King. The girls sometimes sing that song, I'm a child of the King, thank God. I'm glad I'm a child of the King. I now belong to a royal family. I am in the priesthood of a royal family. Amen. I'm in place. Hey, I want you to know everything that Jesus has, I'm an heir with. In Romans chapter 8, 17 said, if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. If so be, we suffer with them, also be glorified together. And so I'm thankful. Everything he promised to us in this world and in the world to come, we have. And whether we live or die, we got the promises of God that he's with us and that he's going to supply our need, going to take care of us. Hey, I said a while ago, America's headed the wrong way, but I'm glad I'm headed in the right direction. Amen, I'm headed toward heaven. I'm walking in the world. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I am an ambassador from another country in this country. And my homeland's over yonder. And I'm just simply here as an ambassador for the King over there. He sent me into this country to tell this country about that King of that country so people in this country can go to that country. And I'm glad, praise God, you can go to that country if you'll hear what I got to say. He's a Savior. Amen. He's the Lord. In the old English custom, when years ago, as a man would inherit an estate, or he would come into buying a piece of property, they had what they call the turf and twig policy. And what that was, when a man was to take possession of that he'd bought or that he inherited, somebody would get a piece of sod and then a twig off of a tree, and they would present that to him, and that turf and twig represented that all that estate included, every piece of ground, everything that grew on the ground, everything that was growing anywhere about that place, it was theirs, they had it. And I got to thinking about that, praise God. When I got saved, I got some turf and twig. Amen. I'm an inheritance. Amen. I mean, it's all mine. In Christ Jesus, is that not so? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns, somebody said, a taters in the hills. He owns beans that grow out there. He owns everything anyhow. And you and I, we took an offering a while ago, and I'm thinking about that offering and while we was taking it up. Everything that we have, God gives us anyhow. And if God didn't give it to us, we wouldn't have it. You say, well, I worked for that. Well, you couldn't even get out of bed if God didn't give you strength to get out of bed. You couldn't earn a penny if God didn't help you earn a penny. It's all God. Amen. It's all God. Now, I'm going to quote Cynthia Mayo down here. Brother Ben told me so. And don't get me for quoting you, but we was talking the other night on the phone, and he talking about living from miracle to miracle. Now, most missionaries, when they go into missions and start raising support, they are in a job of some kind that they can keep a job and on the weekends begin to raise support. Now, when you work for a church, that's a different matter, because when that's over, then the weekends are over too, and it's all over. And so when he got to that end, it's simply the end of that income. And so then he looked at what he had to come and added up the zero. But God has worked a miracle by month, by month, by month for him. And he's still looking for that next miracle. Amen. And so he's sitting here this morning, but we're talking about that and how he's living. And I'm always concerned about this. And but I'll remember that God's in control. But here's a statement. Now, Cynthia, I may not get it exactly right, but I'm getting close to it. She told him one day, said, "We have unlimited funds." Now, how do you like that? We have unlimited funds. We just don't know when they're going to be released. Amen. Cynthia, that's good. That's a great thought. That's absolutely right on. Unlimited funds, just don't know when they're going to be released, and we don't know which bank they're going to come out of, amen, or who they're going to come through. But God's got unlimited funds for every missionary. In fact, is that's true for every Christian. Everybody here, amen? We get all tore up sometimes about everything, but really God has, it's all his anyhow. He made it and he owns it and it's his. And so he has unlimited, Brother Jimmy, praise God. He has unlimited funds. We just don't know when he's going to release them and our part that he wants us to have and get, amen? But he's got them, and I say praise God. It's Valley of Promise. As they came through, crossed over Jordan, walked into that valley, God just made them a promise, said, "This is yours. I'll give it to you." And he did give it to them. They had to go in and possess it, but he gave it to them. God doesn't expect us to sit around and do nothing. He expects us to do what we can do. But he's got the funds, amen. He got the deposit. Hey, it's ours if we just get busy taking it, amen. And when we got territory, now I'm not talking about just money now. I'm talking about bringing people to Christ. I'm talking about seeing the church grow. I'm talking about the things of God. He's got unlimited numbers out there that could be saved and can be brought in. He's unlimited potential out here for all of us to get involved in the things of God. It's unlimited to, we're in the Valley of Promise. I say glory to God. When we crossed over Jordan, now if you're still in the wilderness, you need to get out. Amen. If you see, you know what they did in the wilderness? They wandered around and they murmured and complained and took nothing. Amen. But when they crossed Jordan and got into Canaan, they began to see cities fall, walls fall, and began to see things happen for the glory of God. That's living in victory. Amen. That's not just wandering around not doing anything and just waiting on God to do everything for us. No, we need to cross over Jordan and get over there and say, "God, here we are. What territory you want us to take next? What city you want to see fall next? What you going to do for us next?" And we need to ask God about that. We got a community out here we need to reach. We got people out here going to hell we need to get. Hey, this church pews here I see empty as more. Hey, people to get, people to be brought in, next things to do. And we have the promise of God. And he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "Go in all the world." We've got the commission. We've got his authority. We've got the word of God. We have the thing that we need. All we need to do is be available and accessible for God to use. Amen. And so I just want to plug that in while I run by. It's the Valley of Promise. But now number two, the Valley of Trouble. And it is a valley. There are valleys of trouble. You say, "Preacher, why did you, that's in the Bible for?" Because it's a valley of trouble. And Job said, "Man that's born to woman is few days and full of trouble." I've lived 71 years, and I'd say right now, amen. Amen, Job. You made that one right. It's few days and full of trouble. I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of Joshua chapter 7. Here we come to that same valley. Something happened here. They come in. They taken Jericho. All this had happened. There's a man by the name of Achan got in trouble. It got Israel in trouble. And I pray we'll get the message I'm trying to get across here. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell there. Now here's what had happened. Jericho had failed. He'd sent men up there to take Ai and should have been easily taken. But instead of that, 36 men got killed and they fled before the enemy. And Joshua falls down now here before God. And he's disturbed and worried and concerned about their defeat. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought us people over this people over Jordan? Deliver us unto the to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. What a statement Joshua made there. Hear how sad it is. God promised them this land. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth her backs before their enemies? He said, I'm concerned. What am I going to say? We've turned our back on the enemy. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. Now notice what happened here. Now I want you to get the picture with me today and hang with me, because this is very vital to us and important. Here, Israel has lost the battle. One man has sinned in the camp. One man in the nation of Israel sinned. His family probably knew about it. But they had sinned and hid it. And now Israel lost the battle. I say churches are in a mess today because some folk in them have hidden sin, and it's causing the whole church to lose a battle. Amen. Oh me. That's an awesome thought, is it not? To think that I may be the one that would cause a church to lose a battle, that cause some invitation not to get done what need to be done in it, because I would not obey God, would not listen to God. That's what God's saying here in the Word. You say, preacher, I don't believe one person could do that. God said Israel lost a battle because of one man. God said Israel messed up because of one. You say, preacher, I'm just one. That's right, but you're a part of the church. And that the church depends on you. Hey, I told a class this morning, I started a new class today, and we're trying to talk about church covenant and talk about the doctrines of the church. I'm telling you that everybody that's a member of the church is a part of the church, is the church. Amen. You are the church. This building is only a church building. It's a place where we meet, but we are the church. And the church is no better than what we are. If we have hidden sin in our life, the church will suffer because of it. And so here he is, he's dealing with that. And told, hey, by the way, here Joshua was praying, and God told him, not time to pray, time to get up and do something. You see, it's always time. Sometimes we know God tells us what's wrong, what to do, we need to do it. And you can waste your breath praying about it, but until you do what God said to do, it's not going to happen anyhow. And so Israel have sinned. Look at verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the cursed among you. He said, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to help you unless you deal with that and do what you're supposed to do. Verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Now there, I preach a message on giving glory to God. Here's one way you do it, confessing what when you sin. By the way, it's not a shame to confess that you have sinned. It's a shame to sin and not confess it. Amen. And so he said, give glory to God and confess, Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And that's the way sin always works. You see, you want, you take. That's how sin works. God, the devil gets it in your mind, either through the eye or ear somehow. He gets it in your mind. And then begins the desire comes, and then you begin to partake of. That's how sin works. Pretty pictures, and then desire for, then take, and sin. And behold, there are hidden the earth in the midst of my tent, the silver under it. Now I want you to look at verse number 24. And Joshua said, and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Here they are in that valley of trouble. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones. They didn't make an excuse for his sin. They didn't say, I feel sorry for him. They didn't say the way his parents raised him caused him to do this. They didn't say somebody else messed up, so that caused him to mess up. They didn't try to blame somebody else. They didn't try to blame, well, the preacher, he's at fault, the pianist or the choir, something. They didn't blame anybody, anything. They simply stoned him to death. Isn't that what he said? He said, you troubled Israel, stoned him with stones and burned him with fire, and they had stoned with stones. Now notice what he said. In verse 24, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, everything he had, everything, they stoned it all. Hey, you say, preacher, my sin's my business. If I hide it, I ain't going to hurt nobody else. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. Achan said, I saw that, and I desired it, and I took it, and I hid it. But it affected him, it affected his family, it affected the nation of Israel, and they lost a battle because it affects a whole lot of people. Sin isn't isolated in your case nor my case. It's not something that we just simply lay aside and think, well, we'll get by with this and nobody will know this. We'll just go our merry way. Everything will be fine. Church will do good and family will do good. Everybody will be okay. That's not so. According to God's word, it affects the family. It affects others around you. It affects the church. It affects your nation. Hey, America's in the trouble she's in because people thought they could get by with sin. America didn't get here overnight just because she began to do that and got by. It began, started out because somebody thought, well, I'll get by with this. Somebody said, well, I'll come out of the closet as a homosexual and I'll get by with it. Somebody thought I'd get by lying. Some politician thought I'd get by stealing. And somebody thought I'd get by. And so it began to gain and snowball. And one thing led to another thing. Another thing led to another thing. And so we're in a mess today because integrity's gone and real truth is gone and doing what's right's gone. And people think, well, I can live my life. It's not the preacher's business. It's not the church's business. It's not God's business. I'll just do as I please. That's the attitude of our people over across America. But I'm telling you today, Gateway Baptist Church, it's God's business how I live. It's my business how you live. It's other people's business how you live. It affects other people, and God Almighty will have his last say about it, and judgment will come, whether it's in individual, whether it's in a family, or whether it's in a church, or whether it's in a country. God will be God, and trouble will come. And said, so we'll call this valley Achor, because it's a valley of trouble, and because they tried to get by with sin, and thought they'd hide it and get by with it. Now, I said I was going to talk about the valley of hope. I'm going to get there. I'm heading that direction. Just hang with me a few more minutes and we'll get there. But I'm trying today to tell you, I'm hungering to see revival. Brother Ben, I got a desire in my heart to see this church move. God's been good to us, and there've been some folk coming in, and they've talked about the good spirit and sweet spirit and friendliness and so forth. I appreciate that. I do. I thank God for that. But I know one thing, we can lose it real quick. I know one thing, these folks seemingly not as concerned as they used to be about the things of God, and seemingly some of the zeal and some of that. And I want to see God. I want to see God Almighty move in our hearts, move in our lives, move in our pews, move in our church, and see God do something in these days, don't you? I don't want to sit back and be satisfied. And at ease, and Amos said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And sometimes we get at ease in Zion, and we think, well, everything's all right. It's bad time, but we're getting by. And we got clothes and food to eat and shelter, and so everything's just fine. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's not hunky-dory. America's in a mess, and our churches are in trouble. And if we don't have real revival in our churches, we'll dry up and be like the rest of the crowd. Hey, I want to see the next generation coming on. Know God, know what God can do. I want to see them have some shout in their soul and see them know how to weep at an altar over sinners going to hell. Amen. And see them know what it is to have a burden for souls and get under that kind of a burden and expect God to bring them in, trust in God to do it. Have faith, believe in God's going to do something. Amen.
When you come to church this morning, let me just plug this in right here. When you come to church this morning, did you expect God to really do something? Did you come to church looking for God to save somebody? Did you come to church saying, God, what have you got for me today? And Lord, how are you going to speak to my heart today? And what are you going to do for that sinner today? And who's going to get saved? Who's going to get right with God? And who's going to join the church? Who's going to get moved by God? Who's going to confess sin? Or did you come in and say, well, it's church time now. We're going to hear some good singing. We hope the preacher does halfway decent job preaching, and we hope we can get through the service and get by, because we won't get down to resting real quick because too many people get tired. We have to stand in line too long if he preaches too long. Good preaching. And we think about, well, you know, the ball game comes on a certain time, and we want to be sure we get there for that. And we got to get everything right about all this stuff and what we're going to do tomorrow. And we got to get some rest. And we got to go see Grandma and Grandpa. We got to do, and that's all right, go see Grandma and Grandpa. Amen. And we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to. And so, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. I want you to know today, most important thing right now, we're in church. And we came to church to worship God. We came to hear from heaven. We walked in this valley of promise, and we got the promises of God being with us and God helping us. And God said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We got that. And he said, I'm going to leave the Holy Ghost with you to help you, empower you, and fill you, and use you. We got that. And then in the valley of Achor, where we go, in the valley of trouble, then there's trouble. And we sin. Ain't not a person in here hadn't tried to get by sin sometime or other. Amen. Good preaching. Ain't not a person sometime or other did not try to get by with something in our life. And God had to deal with us about it and get it right. Amen. And if you still hadn't dealt with it and got it right, then today God's speaking to you. And God sent a message. God stirred my heart. I've been meditating, thinking about, praying about, asking God, help me get this across like he wanted to get across today, this valley that we're in. And so we came in with promise. We came in trouble because of sin, maybe in our lives. I don't know. I don't know about your life. I got to look at my life. But I do know this. I do know it's easy to cool off on God. I do know it's easy to get kind of cold. I do know it's easy to let up on things. Amen. Oh, me. Either one. I plead guilty, and I'm sure that you'll have to plead guilty along with me, unless you're one that's really on fire for God and really doing something for God in these days. I'm sure some are, but we need this. But now look at verse number 15 back in our text in Hosea. Hosea's looking back, said Israel was in bondage, but now she was in trouble, but now he's looking forward. And I'll give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as the days of her youth. I say to you, thank God for the door of hope. I'm glad for the blessing. Trouble come, but what an opportunity. If we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, if we'll follow God, do what God says, let God be God in our life, it's a valley of hope. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not living in a hopeless situation. I'm glad it's not something that God cannot handle. You say, America, how far is it? I don't know, but I that doesn't make me hopeless. And what's happening in the world doesn't make me hopeless. I tell you, and what even happened in the church doesn't make me hopeless. If whatever happening in churches across America doesn't make me hopeless, I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He's a captain of my salvation. I have his word on it, and it's a valley of hope. And I have hope, hallelujah. There is hope for the hopeless, and Jesus Christ is our hope, amen. And there's opportunity for us to win people to God, to be a witness for Christ, to let God do something in our life, to give our joy back. Hey, And talking about David, you remember the story of David, and as he sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I've kind of got him on my mind today too, but he thought he'd get by, but he didn't either. But in Psalm 51, you find him crying out, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto. When shall that happen? When would it happen that sinners get saved? When would it happen that people get right with God? When God restores the joy in our hearts. When we get joy of his salvation in our life. He said, then will I teach. Then will I help somebody else. I'm saying to you today, friend, you and I that are saved, if there's one time back there somewhere in our lives we had more joy than we got now, we had more power of God than we got now, we need to hit the altar and ask God to help us and ask God to do something for us. We get satisfied with where we are and coming along, and preacher, you preach and people do right. I'll tell you right now, you've got a part of the service as well as the preacher's got a part of the service. If you got things you've never confessed and got right with God, you are a hindrance to what God wants to do. If you not God saying something to you and you need to deal with it, you're a hindrance if you don't deal with it. But if you do deal with it, thank God, the valley of hope. The valley of hope. Isn't it good to come in expecting God to do something? Isn't it good to come in with excitement in your soul, knowing that things are confessed up and you're ready to worship God and hear what God's got for you? God has got something for us in the valley of Achor. In that valley, we came in the valley of promise. I'm sure most all have been saved any time been in the valley of trouble. But thank God it's a valley of hope. And we'll sing there. What he's saying is the joy will be returned. Then we can sing again. What about your life? Some can sing because the joy bells ring. Some can't because of sin. But you listen to what God has to say and obey God. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this valley of Achor that, Lord, we can recognize the fact the valley they came in when they came to in the land of promise. A valley, fertile valley. Achan messed up. Achan caused problems, had to be dealt with. Then the valley of hope came. Lord, thank you that when sin's dealt with, there's a valley of hope. Shall sing again. Somebody here is out of the will of God that you're speaking to that need to get right. Somebody's here that's lost and need to get saved. Father, somebody's here that you're challenging to do your will. And I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost will have his way in the invitation. You do what you want to do. Rebuke the devil. And I pray God the Holy Ghost have his way. In Jesus' name, amen.